Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We continue today in our series, Have Faith in God. Our installment today is, What Do You Mean If? Brief review, we are considering the very foundation of spirituality is faith. The spiritual life begins by faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Your Christian life begins with faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from any works. It goes on to say, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Christian life begins by faith, and once you are saved, you are to live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just, those who are legally declared innocent because they have trusted Christ as their Savior, the just shall live daily by faith. So we have to see the importance of faith. It starts the Christian life, and it is to govern our daily walk now that we're a Christian. Faith. So in this study, I want to get past the surface. Oh yeah, I have faith in God. Wait till he takes you out of your comfort zone, then tell me. That was the essence of our study last week. He's going to take you to places that you would not naturally go. And in essence, he's in heaven saying, now do you have faith in me? Faith is what pleases God when we trust him as a born-again believer in our daily living. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please him. If you don't have faith in God in daily living, God is not happy. Now go back to Hebrews 10, 38, only a few verses before that. Look at the back half of the verse. We live by faith, but if any man draw back, without faith it's impossible to please him. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God is not pleased with the Christian that does not live by faith, and when he gets pulled out of his comfort zone, he throws a temper tantrum. See, trusting God fully is proper thinking. And how important is our thinking? This is where spirituality lies its foundation in our life, our brain. Therefore, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. That is not a suggestion. It's a command, Christian. Trust in the Lord with all your fundamental thinking, your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We must be fully persuaded if we're going to please God and have faith in him. Well, many believers say they have faith in God, but the old expression, actions speak louder than words. A huge crowd was watching the famous tightrope walker Blondin cross Niagara Falls one day in 1860. He crossed it numerous times, a 1,000-foot trip, 160 feet above the raging waters. He asked the crowd if they believed he could take one person across. They all assented. Then he approached one man and asked him to get on his back and go with him. The man refused. His actions denied his words. You said you believed I could do it until I asked you to get on my back. You really don't think I can do it. Well, the truth is, a human being is capable of falling, and there surely is reason to not get on Blondin's back. But not so with God. He cannot fail. Do you trust me? Yes. Then, as we saw last week in our illustration, let go. Well, that's a different story now. Our actions speak louder than our words. Folks, pay attention to your reaction and behavior. Do you really trust God? Well, today our message is, what do you mean if? In Mark chapter 9, we have a father who has brought his son to the disciples, and the son has a demon. And he comes to the disciples, and they are unable to cast out this demon. And he takes him to Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 21 of Mark 9, and he, Jesus, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Underline this. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. How many of us pray, dear God, if you can do anything? Now, we may not articulate those words, but the truth is our thinking is we really don't believe God. If you can do something, consider the response that Jesus gave him. He corrected his statement. And Jesus said unto the man, if thou canst believe, is what you should have said. We put the question mark on God, and God puts the question mark back on us. It's not a matter of if God can do it, it's do we believe in him, because then he is pleased with us, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When God pulls you out of your comfort zone, the question is now, do you trust God? The question is not if Jesus can do anything, the question is, do we believe? Let me quote a commentary on this passage. A certain man had a demoniac son who was afflicted with a dumb spirit. The father, having seen the futility of the endeavors of the disciples to heal his child, had little or no faith in Christ. Therefore, when he was bidden to bring his son to him, he said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, there was an if in the question. But the poor trembling father had put the if in the wrong place. Jesus, therefore, without commanding him to retract the if, kindly puts it in its legitimate position. Nay, verily, he seemed to say, there should be no if about my power, nor concerning my willingness. The if lies somewhere else. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The man's trust was strengthened. He offered a humble prayer for increase of faith, and instantly Jesus spoke the word, and the devil was cast out with an injunction never to return. There's a lesson here which we need to learn. We, like this man, often see that there is an if somewhere, but we are perpetually blundering by putting it in the wrong place. If Jesus can help me, if he can give me grace to overcome temptation, if he can give me pardon, if he can make me successful, nay, if you believe, he can and will. You have misplaced your if. If you can confidently trust, even as all things are possible to Christ, so shall all things be possible to you. Faith standeth in God's power and is robed in God's majesty. It weareth the royal apparel. It rideth on the king's horse, for it is the grace which the king delighteth to honor, girding itself with the glorious might of the all-working spirit. It becomes in the omnipotence of God, mighty to do, to dare, and to suffer. All things without limit are possible to him that believeth. My soul, canst thou believe thy Lord tonight? Let's stop putting the if in the wrong place. God is more sure than Blondin taking you across the Niagara Falls. If he calls you to do something, it is as good as done. You are on solid ground, even though it's outside of your comfort zone. Too often we pray with doubt. The just shall live by faith. But we draw back, and God is not pleased when we pull back. God is not pleased when we trust him for our eternal security and we don't trust him for today. That is faulty thinking at its finest. God is very serious about our faith in him, but without faith, it is virtually impossible. Not difficult. Well, I want us to consider that God is so serious, he works personally in your life and in my life to build our very faith in him. The essence of 1 Peter is believers suffering and God is trying their very faith. That is the summation of the book of 1 Peter. I want us to consider, therefore, very big picture, 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. These people were in an area that was so bad, they had to flee. God allowed that. And they fled, if we read that, to Asia Minor, 5 provinces there. And guess what was waiting for them to the land where they fled? More problems. More problems. But did God have a purpose in this? I want you to take a look at Acts 8:1. Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul, he will become the Apostle Paul. This is before he's saved. Saul was consenting unto his, Stephen's, death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church. Persecution against the church such that they scattered, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. The persecution was so bad they had to leave. They went to a foreign land. But God doesn't do anything just for fun. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore they were all scattered abroad everywhere. Why? Preaching the word. See, if they didn't have that problem, it would not have moved them out of their comfort zone. They would not have gone to a foreign land to spread the word. God will give you sometimes something out of your comfort zone to cause you to do something else for his purposes. All right. Now, Peter is writing to these scattered believers as they are facing incredible trials and tribulation into the land they have fled. And he writes, comforting them, 1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, problems, that the trial of your faith. It is easy to say, Lord, I love you now. I will get on Blondin's back and go across that falls until he says, fine, get on. See, God will literally try your faith and my faith. When life is going good, it's easy to say, oh, I'm not sure I trust God. Then God says, okay, now do you trust me? Now that I have moved you out of your homeland into a foreign land and there are great problems waiting for you there, we start to question our leading. Did God really lead me here? Instead of saying, I have faith that God is in this. The key here is the trial of your faith. Faith in what? There's only one thing to have faith in, God Almighty. That's what he's talking about. Now do you trust me? I have pulled you out of your comfort zone. And he is trying sorely their very faith. Take a look at this. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. That is how serious God is to getting you to trust him. I will put you in the fire. Now tell me you trust me. God is very serious about this, such that he will literally let your life be through the valley of the shadow of death. I want us to remember who we are. We are believers, hence we must believe. But I want to continue on here and think of somebody else we are. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Elect. Underline that word, elect. According to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Why did Peter stick that word elect there? This is not some disjointed thought, and he's going to go down a rabbit trail explaining the doctrine of election. He speaks to these people as if they understand what he is talking about when he calls them elect. And there's something very profound here. Let me explain. Elect is often misinterpreted that God chooses beforehand who will trust Jesus as their Savior and who will not. That is wrong. That's heresy. God knows on foreknowledge before this world was founded. He knew what you were going to do with Jesus Christ. He knows everything. Therefore, because of that foreknowledge, he knew what you were going to do. He elected you. It doesn't mean he made you do it. Why, John 3:16 is pretty powerful. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, provided you're elect. I think we have a contradiction here. Now, I want you to think about this. Peter is not going off on a doctrinal dissertation on election. He simply says to these people, elect. Maybe we would say, for other purposes, citizens, lend me your ears. Addressing you in a particular status that you stand in. These people are elect. Now get the context, what Peter is saying. Your life was so bad, you had to leave to a foreign land, you're uprooted, your probably customs and manners are different, and there you have problems waiting for you. Oh boy. And he says, by foreknowledge. Did you know before the foundation of the world, God knew you? By calling them elect, he is drawing the attention to their thinking. Do you understand who you are in Christ? Before the foundation of the world, he elected you because he knew you were going to trust his Son as Savior. And what does he do? He predetermines that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. I am working in your life, and hence you've got these trials by purpose. I'm trying to conform you to the image of Jesus, which is the end goal of the spiritual life. So he is drawing their attention. You're elect. Would you remember who you are? You're a believer. You ought to believe. You are elect. Why? Because foreknowledge. God knew what was waiting for you when he drove you to this land. Would you remember who you are? And God has this all in the palm of his hand. Oh, would you trust God even though he tries you sorely? Read it again. Now with that understanding, you elect people with foreknowledge. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. That the trial of your faith, remember, God knew this before the world was founded, that he would let you go into this trial. It's much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. You see, God is serious about us trusting him. You remember? Maybe I don't even know if they still make them. Those kid toys, Gumby. You can bend and twist them in any position, and they kind of bounce back and they just let it go. This is what God wants Christians. Will you trust me out of your comfort zone when I twist you, when I turn you, when I move you for my purposes? We're going to get more into specifics as we see some Old Testament characters and how God led them out of their comfort zone, that they had to seriously trust him in the situations that God took them. You see, God wants our faith Look at the end of verse 7, 1 Peter 1, that our faith be found unto praise and honor and glory. That we live by such faith. He is greatly pleased. Therefore, these people that are scattered, don't pray, Lord, if you can do anything. No, Lord, we have faith in you. You're trying our faith. It's growing, it's developing. Give me strength. Develop my faith. Now, count it all joy. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, talking to born-again people. One of the problems people have when they interpret the book of James, they forget it's talking to born-again people. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is the very thing that Peter was in essence saying. You're in manifold trials. You have tremendous problems. Look to God in it and find a joy, because the joy is found realizing that God is working. Know this. James 1:3, know this. We're back to the thinking. Would you get this fact in your brain? Know this, that the trying of your faith, faith in God, works patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Don't fight it. Go with it. See God in it. Let him work and mold you and build your faith. The trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Get this, wanting nothing. I don't want anything but a relationship with God. That's all I want. Lord, I just want to walk close to you. And God starts to burn things out of us, because there are things that we want and we have comfort zones, and he says, let me burn it out of you. Yes, Lord, I will trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. If we have faith in God, we see life's trials very differently. These are not happenstance coincidences that just are a nuisance in your life. They are by the almighty hand of God, elect by foreknowledge. God knew what he was doing, and he knew where you would flee, and he knew the problems that would await you there. See God in them. This is what Peter is saying, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Do you really see your faith in God as precious? More precious than gold. More precious than all the money in the world. Do we really see that? I hope so. God's word is truth. Therefore, we must obey it. We begin our Christian life with salvation. We mature spiritually with faith. It starts by faith, it grows by faith, and God works in us through trials to develop that faith, not just a surface yes. I want you to look at these key points in verse 7 of 1 Peter. Every Christian's faith in God will be tried, that the trial of your faith. Number 2, it's more precious than gold. Number 3, it will be tried with fire. Number 4, your reaction should be that it is found, your faith is found unto praise and honor and glory. There's a lot of truth in there. Believer, let your thinking be renewed to the things of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Christian, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the, underline it, renewing of your mind, to have faith in God, to see life differently. Number 2, Christian, learn to think and understand great spiritual truths. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. He saw their love and heard of the love unto all the saints. And he said in verse 16, Based on that, I make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, in other words, your brain, your thinking, the revelation of knowledge in him, here it is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Not your physical eyes, your understanding eyes. That you may know, come on, get your thinking straight, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Christian, God wants you to know this. It will be life-changing. And then Paul writes concerning our thinking, Christians, don't worry, give it to God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, all of your problems, he doesn't say there aren't problems, he says there are problems. Here's what you do with them. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Cast your care on him. He didn't say you don't have problems. He said, give it to me and trust me. And what happens? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. By faith, by renewed thinking, that even when he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, and I believe that. We don't physically see him by our side, but the eye of faith sees him. And in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above. Your affection, your thinking, your desires on godliness. Not on the things of this earth. NPR has this article on their website, August 20th of this year. Welcome to the world's highest and longest glass-bottomed bridge. It's touted as the world's highest and longest glass-bottomed bridge, elegantly stretched between two mountain peaks in central China's Hunan province. As of this weekend, it's open to visitors. Now one can walk the 470-yard length of the glass bridge, which is positioned in vertigo-inducing 328 yards above the ground. The bridge cost $3.4 million to construct and is paved with 99 panes of three-layered transparent glass. Only 800 people are allowed on the structure at a time. The big question for many visitors is it safe? I don't know why, but 3 weeks later there was an article, they closed it. Probably somebody counted the 801st person. I don't know its status today, but I know this. If God calls us to step out and we don't see, as you don't see glass, we must realize it is solid. A man-made bridge will eventually fail because everything a man can make will fail. But God will not fail. Even though you can look down and it seems to be a multi-hundred feet drop, God says, trust me. I am more sure than that bridge. So far in our simple study, we have considered the importance of your thinking, come out of your comfort zone, and today, what do you mean if? God wants us not to do him lip service, oh yes, I believe in you. He wants us to truly, when we are pulled out of our comfort zone, to not say, if you can help me, rather, if I can believe. This is the key. Faith is the victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Heavily, this message is geared to believers, but maybe some today don't know. Remember I told you it begins by faith in Jesus Christ? Let me explain. This is the beginning of the Christian life. And if you miss this, you've missed it all. Let that hand represent you, me, every person that's ever come into this world. Let that billfold represent sin. Every person has a sin debt. This sin debt cannot be satisfied by us, and it will condemn us to eternal hell if it's not satisfied. You could join every church in town, water baptism, communion, go down the list. You could join every church, you could join our church, you could wherever. You could sell everything you have and give it to missions. It will not buy you a moment in heaven. The debt is too great. Our ability is insignificant at best. God knew our helpless condition, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Let that hand represent Jesus, born of the Virgin, God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh at approximately 33 years of age. The sin debt of the world was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was nailed to the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He gave up the ghost. He died. And he was put in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Paid in full. And it was verified he rose from the dead. See, the wages of sin is death. He had no sin. Death couldn't hold him. He paid the debt. The Christian life begins when you have faith, not in what you're doing and your good works to settle that sin debt, but it is when you put your faith in the work of Jesus 2,000 years ago for you personally. Every person, he paid that sin debt. He shed his blood. He died. He rose again, paid in full. That's the beginning of the Christian life. Lord, in the quietness of mind, I believe that. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son for you. And if whosoever, if you believeth in him, his work of redemption, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no middle of the road. There's no alternative. There's no other way. It's Jesus only. And the moment you put your faith in his shed blood, his broken body, that moment you have eternal life. God knows your thoughts. Remember, elect by foreknowledge. He knew what you would decide. Now, trust Christ apart from your works. Then you begin the Christian life, living daily, facing the trials and the tribulations with faith in God.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.